Well, it's good to see each and every one here this morning. You know, with the COVID running kind of rampant and everything, we find ourselves kind of in an unsure, unsteady situation in our country, but we know that God is still on the throne and that He's still able to do exceedingly above that which we are even able to expect of Him. On days, and probably this isn't something very fitting, but you know, in the afternoon I always watch my favorite football team, and my wife would not let me wear the cap in, nor the sweatshirt, definitely, and the tie. But she said, you can wear their colors. But she didn't know this, that I snuck this face mask in that's got their emblem. And if you don't see it from here, it's the Minnesota Vikings. And I'm probably about the only fan in the state of Missouri. But ever since I was a child, little boy, I've always loved to watch their team. And you know, they get so far and then they just kind of fall off. But we're glad we can joke and kid and tease about things like that. My wife wears red, so you know what team she's for. But we're so glad to be here today for each and every one who have found it in their hearts and in their busy schedules. I'm going to turn this just a little bit, if that's okay. Found it in your heart and in your busy schedules to be here this morning. I think whenever that we came up this way, we enjoyed seeing the surroundings. You know, the fact that nature is still in bloom and that God is still at work. And you know, whether that we realize it or not, God is still at work. He's still watching over each and every one of us. We may not realize it. And we may look at our circumstances and we may think, you know, where is God? Has He deserted us? With all the turmoil and everything that's going on in the world, you know, we wonder, is God still there? Does He care about what is going on in our lives and going on in our world? And I know that everybody's looking towards November, wondering what the outcome of that is going to be. But God is still on the throne, as we said, and our hope is in Him. And if we put our hope within mankind, or we put our hope in man, then we are going to be disappointed. But you know, we put our hope and our trust in Him. I want you to know, no matter what the outcome, He'll carry us through. If you have your Bible with you today, turn with us to the 39th chapter, or the 39th Psalm, a Psalm of David, a Psalm that was written, dedicated to one of the Levites that David was well acquainted with, who was also a songwriter himself. And we find that, you know, with David was a man that was after God's own heart. David made mistakes, David made misjudgments, but you know, there was one thing to say about David. He loved the Lord with all of his heart. And you know, we find in one instance, whenever that they brought the Ark of the Covenant in from Shiloh to Jerusalem, that David was just so overwhelmed and so full of the Spirit of God that he put on a linen ephod, and you know, the singing was probably good, and he probably sang to the top of his voice, but he couldn't keep his feet still. It said that he danced before the Lord with all of his might. And through David came the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the ancestor, if you will. Christ is of that lineage of David. He's referred to as being the son of David. He is referred to as being of the root of Jesse. And we find that through his lineage, Christ Jesus came into the world. David's referred to as being the sweet psalmist of Israel. And I want you to know there's probably no other book or no other types of books that can give comfort, that can give rest, that can give peace, like reading one of David's Psalms. So we want to look at the 39th Psalm, and we want to look and start with the first verse, where David said, and he's quoting himself, he said, "I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not longer with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. And while I was musing, the fire burned, and then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best is altogether vanity." And we're going to find that his son, Solomon, repeated something very similar to that later on. Selah, and that word, whenever you see the word Selah in the Psalms, it means after that you read this, think about what you've read, or meditate, or pray about what you've read. "Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee." And if this is correctly read this morning, this includes the first down through the seventh verses of the 39th Psalm. And our thought and our text will come from that very last verse. "And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee." My hope is within me. Hope is one of those things that we find in the scriptures that's linked with faith and with charity. Charity being that godly sort of love. And some people will say today, well, what's the difference between faith and between hope? Faith is for now. It's that confidence in things that are not seen and things hoped for. But then hope is that knowledge of an expected end, that this is going to work out somehow. We don't know how. We don't know when. But somehow God is going to take matters, or has matters under control. And it's hard for us to get a hold of that sometimes. Sometimes it's hard because we're looking at circumstances. We're looking down here on this level. You know, if David, who wrote this psalm, if he had looked just at the giant, Goliath, and looked at the armies of the Philistines, there's no doubt he probably would have headed back, right back up to the armies of Saul. But you know, David wasn't looking at Goliath. He probably realized how tall he was, about 9 feet in height by our measure. But he was looking at the God that was above Goliath, looking down on Goliath, looking down on the armies of the Philistines who had blasphemed the name of God. And I want you to know today that God gives us and wants for us to have the same kind of hope. Now, someone will say today, well, I'm not like David. David and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, those were great patriarchs. They were great men of faith. But you know what? They had their problems. They had their times. There were times whenever that, just like Abraham, they took matters into their own hands and tried to do the will of God, but tried to do it their own way. And we find by the example of Abraham that he had to depend upon the promises of God without taking matters into his own hands. And you know, even though that Abraham was up in years, about 100+ years, his wife Sarai was beyond the childbearing years, yet God gave unto Abraham a promise that you will be the father of many nations, that out of your seed will come the children of Israel, if you will. And he looked at his circumstances. He looked at what he was. He looked at how frail that he was. And he looked and said within himself, how can these things be? And we do the same thing. We wonder how God's going to bring us out of this COVID virus. And I want you to know, God is going to be the one who brings us out. It's not going to be by the wisdom. I'm not downplaying that, because I'm a part of that profession. And I want you to know that I look at it and I wonder and I worry for patients that I've had. And I wonder if they're all right, especially those that are sick and are frail. But I want you to know that ultimately the answer is going to come from God. And we find that the Bible tells us in one place that if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will answer their prayer and I will heal their land. We have this promise from God. I'm not just saying this rhetorically. The Bible is full of it today, of how that God has heard and answered prayer and given hope. We have hope because, first of all, God loved us before we first loved Him. Did you know that? Before you were ever thought of, before that your lineage ever came down to this point in time, to your birthday, back in past eternity, God knew all about you. He knew how high that you would be. He knew how much, well, He did. He knew how much you would weigh. He knew, my friend, how far that you would go in school. He knew all about your troubles. He knew the things that you would do right, the things that you would do wrong, the people that you would encounter. God knew all about that. And think with me for just a moment. He knew this about all the billions of people that are in the world. And my friend, He knew also that the man who He would create would bring sin and death by sin into the world, and that it would affect us all. I want to tell you something today. The worst type of disease that is affecting mankind today, and the COVID is very, very, very terrible, so are all the other diseases, but the one disease from which that it all emanates from is sin. Sin passed upon all mankind. And my friend, we see examples of how far that sin will go. And I hate to say this today, we look at the news reports and we look at all the demonstrations and the riots and things like that. My friend, that's a drop in the bucket compared to how far sin will take mankind. And you might say, oh Lord, I pray, preacher, that it doesn't. And I do too. But I want you to know that in spite of that and how terrible that men could be in all of history, God loved mankind before that He ever created him. And my friend, I want you to know that He made a way of salvation. God made a plan of salvation before the man sinned. The Bible tells us over in one place in the book of Titus, it said that after that the kindness of love of God our Savior toward us appeared, He said He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. He said that we might be justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God made a plan. And if He made a plan of salvation, in that He's given us a hope and expected end. My friend, I want to tell you something. God is all powerful. Now we take that for granted. We take it for, we'll acknowledge it and we'll look at what it says in the Bible. But I want you to think for just a moment about the power of God. My friend, there is nothing that God can't do. Used to argue with friends and college, whenever that we'd get together in the dorms, and there we were, you know, the first year of school, we were going to solve all the problems, and they were going to unleash us on the world, and we were going to take care of everybody. And we'd argue things like, well, you know, God's powerful, but can He make a rock that He can't pick up? And I mean, silly things like that. That was about like what the Pharisees used to do. How many angels can dance on the pin head of a pin? How far down do you wash your hands to be clean? I'm not talking about the sanitation hygiene we do. Please wash your hands, and I'm sure you do. But talking about ceremonial washing, and you might say, well, why was that such a big deal? Because the Pharisees, when they would go out in the marketplace, they would, you know, they'd see a sinner over here and a sinner over there, and they would just almost kind of like this. And in case they happened to touch one, they thought was unclean, might make them unclean, they'd go home and they'd ceremonially wash their hands in case they touched somebody who was a sinner, who was beneath them. That's the type of washing that we're referring to on that. But I want you to know today, my friend, that sin can take us so far, but yet God has made a way that we can be redeemed unto Him, and He has given us a hope, and He has done this because that He is all-powerful. Think about today the power of God. Look above the circumstances. Do you know right now at this moment, this planet, this earth, is suspended by the Word of God's power? He doesn't have to take a crane and a line to keep it going. He doesn't have to have somebody making it spin. We find in the Bible where that it says in the beginning, God said, let there be light. God spoke the world into existence. Now, when you and I go to do something, we plan it out. We talk to somebody about it. We get the proper type of tools for it. And then, if you're like me, you go to dig the hole, put the boards up, and then I realized I put the boards in wrong. But God didn't have to do that. He didn't have to plan. He spoke, and that was it. He spoke. He said, light is, and light was. He said, the earth is, the earth was. And someone will argue and say, well, it was came into being by the Big Bang Theory. I don't know. Maybe use the Big Bang Theory. But I want you to know today that God was behind it all. He created it. And I want you to know that He put the stars exactly where that He wanted them. And I don't know where the universe ends, but my friend, it's gone and it's going as far as God wants it to, because all things are for His glory and for His purpose. We used to go out into the night and we would look at the stars, my family and I. You know, people probably passed along and wondered what we were looking at, but we would look and try to figure out the constellations and everything. And we happened to spot a star that was kind of moving. It wasn't an airplane, but it was a star. And I, you know, smart 16-year-old that I was at that time, said, well, you know, that really shouldn't be. You know, that's probably some satellite. That's probably this. That's probably that. And I never will forget my mother saying, you know what? If that's a star and God's moving it, it's His business and it does not concern us giving Him counsel. He's got the power, my friend, to play checkers with it if He wants to. He's got a reason why that He's doing it. I want you to know that God is all powerful and there's none likened unto Him. That's why that the patriarchs preached what they did. That there is no God likened unto Thee, O God. He is what the theologians call omnipotent. He is all powerful. There is nothing today that He cannot do. And we find, my friend, that He's not only omnipotent or all powerful, but God knows everything. There's nothing that God does not know. He knew the end from the beginning. We talked about that and we mentioned that. But my friend, He knows all that there is to know, and there is nothing that He does not know. I love it whenever that we in science make these discoveries, and it's, you know, gosh, you know, it's like we really did something. And I think to myself, and I have to back up, and I have to realize, Lord, you know all about this before that I ever cried coming from my mother's womb. You knew all about it. It's nothing new. And Solomon even said it, as wise as Solomon was. He said, there is nothing new under the sun. God knows, my friend, what the end is. And He knows, my friend, what is going to happen at the next moment. He knows all of the little scientific things that we think we have discovered. He knew them all along. Used to, and I hate to keep mentioning things like this because I want you to realize not everybody in science is an agnostic or an atheist. There is some among us that will sit at the lab table and we'll see something and it is the thumb mark or it is the fingerprint of God. And my friend, no wonder David said in one place, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. My friend, he knows all that there is. My friend, sit at a lab table, figure out something, see it come to pass, and step back. And my friend, you cannot convince me today that it's just by accident that things have come to be as we see them. It's because, my friend, we serve a God that knows all, knows the end from the beginning, knows those things which could be and might be that we always speculate God knows how it would have gone. That's God's knowledge. And then God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. That means He's in all places. And I cannot wrap my mind around this. He's in all places at all times. While we're worshiping here and God's Spirit is moving within the congregation, do you know in other churches, even around the world, even as we speak, God is in their midst? Do you know whenever that John stood before the very presence of God, as it's recorded in the book of the Revelation, it said that before the throne was a lamb who had been slain. Here were, my friend, the four cherubims singing continually, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which is, which was, and which is to come." And then also there, seven candlesticks, which were the seven spirits of God. Not that there's seven separates, there's only one Spirit of God, but that number seven represents the completeness, the powerfulness of Almighty God and the presence of God in all places and at all times. My friend, He is even out at the ends of the universe. He said in one place whenever that they were about to build a temple to Him, and whenever that Solomon went in prayer to Him, He said, "What kind of house can contain me? Why, even the very heavens themselves cannot contain me." And here's the mystery to me about His all-presence. He said, "The heavens cannot contain me." And we think in these terms about containment. But yet God does. He doesn't overflow. It's not like an overflowing cup of water or anything like that. He said, "The heavens cannot contain me." He said, "I am all places. I am at all times." You know, whenever that we leave this place, God is still with you. You may not be aware of it, but God is still with you. He's in your prayers. He's in the songs. He is with you whenever that you shed tears over loved ones or over sickness. God is there. And I want you to know that Satan will try to cheat you out of that knowledge. He'll try to cheat you out of that expectation of Him. My friend, I want you to know that in Him and in all this that we've said, there is hope. No wonder David said, and as we read in your hearing, "My hope is in Thee, O God." Now that I understand, and I've just barely touched it, about the being of God, about and you think about it, it's kind of hard to verbalize. in all of it. He is moved by one of the attributes that that is said of him, that he is love. He's not some power out there that is just impersonal, doesn't know, doesn't care. Just fling it out there and let it go on its own. He's still intimately involved in your lives and what's going on with you. And your sorrow is his sorrow. Your concern is his concern. And yea, whenever that we stray, he still loves you. Did you know that? He still cares about you. He still loves you. He is still concerned about you. And my friend, he's not going to cast you off and just take you away or push you away. He said, if you come unto me with a contrite heart and a broken spirit, he said, I will hear your prayer. And he said, I will heal and I will answer prayer. We just want to close for just a moment with this that we find in the book of Jeremiah. And it's a very familiar scripture. In Jeremiah chapter 29 and in the 11th verse, we find these words. Now, someone will say, well, that was to Israel, and that had to do with them, and it was just for them, it's not for us. But I want you to know that every word of God, I don't know in the book of Leviticus all those names of all those generations, but they've got some significance because God put them in there. I don't know what it is, but there's a reason. And there's a reason why that God put this in here at this particular time, and it is for us today. He says in the 11th verse, he said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. He knows your concerns. He said, but I know the thoughts. He said, I know the concerns. I try to speak to your heart. I try to guide you. He says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Now, I want you to know that if we look towards God and looked at our circumstances and we say, oh God, why is this going on? Oh God, have we done something? Listen to what he says. He said, thoughts of peace. In the midst of all this that's going on, rioting, viruses, unrest, political advances that are going on in the world, worrying about what the outcome of November is going to be. He says, thoughts of peace and not of evil. God does not bestow evil upon us. He said in one place, he said, all things work for good to them who love God and who are the called according to his purpose. I may not agree with him on what he does, but you know, in the end, it works out for my good, and it works out, better yet, for your good. You may not know it. You may not realize it at the time. But he said, not thoughts of evil, but he said, to give you an expected end. That word expected end means hope. An expected end. Think about that for just a moment. An expected end. A hope that we have in God. He said, then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto you, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. There are times whenever that we come, and I'm speaking for self, and then I'm going to close, that, Lord, I'd like to know this. I'd like to know this. Why is this? And there's sometimes God doesn't tell us. He's silent. And there's reasons why that he withholds that from us. But then later on down the road, all of a sudden, there is the answer. Comes up all of a sudden, when you least expect it. I'm now ready, God says, to tell you why that this has happened, or this is going on, or what this is. He said, what I want from you is just to have hope in me. May it be powered by faith, and may it be punctuated by the fact that I have a deep, everlasting love for you. No wonder David said what he did. Man that was after God's own heart. Man that loved God so much that he was willing even probably to have laid down his life if God would have demanded it. He said, my hope, O God, is in thee. What's our hope in today? I don't know anybody's politics. You know, I just kind of read the papers and listen to, and by Shirley's help, I've been trying to not, well, she knows I sneak around and do it, but to get off the social media and everything. But you know what it comes right down to? It's not going to be who's in the White House. It's not going to be what kind of alliances we make with what countries. Now, I agree, I've got an opinion about White House, but you know, our hope better be beyond the White House. Our hope must be in God. It must be in Him that no matter what is going on, Lord, You said that You'll give me an expected end. And I'm going to count on day by day. And Lord, if I falter in my faith, You just bring me right back to where I'm supposed to be. May God bless you is my desire and my prayer. May God be with you. May God just touch your heart and speak to you throughout the day and throughout the week and throughout the month and to the rest of this year. May God watch over you. May God keep you is my desire and my prayer. We might have a song or a hymn. And you know, while we sing this song, I realize we don't shake hands and this and that and the other, but we can kind of wave to each other or as we, you know, whatever. But you know, I'm glad that that's just going to be temporary. You know, and if it isn't, then God will get us through it. He'll get us through it. If our hope and our trust is in Him, because He's got it under control. And I want you to know, He knows what's going on. And I want you to know, He's powerful enough to do exceedingly above what we can even imagine He can do.